Hey, this is Christian Horn, and I am here with the second part of our Top 10 Horror Movie Moments episode. As you remember, last week Paul and I ran a little long with this episode, so we split it up into two parts. This is the second half, so hopefully you will enjoy this part as much as the first one. And if you haven't heard the first part, make sure to head over to parttimefanboy.com or you can check it out on iTunes. In the meantime, I hope you all have a happy Halloween and take care while you're out there trick-or-treating. Bye.
I'm going to go with another sort of classic scary movie there of Halloween. I'm thinking particularly of the beginning of the movie, the whole Mike Myers POV shot. It was one of those definitely, scary moments, and that beginning's definitely taken from, sort of an Italian kind of a horror movie there, where you've got the killer POV shot, but then the big reveal at the end, when the mask comes off and you see it's a kid, it was genuinely shocking.
Yeah.
And, it's one of those movies that's just a great, scary movie. It builds the suspense. It's almost like sort of the textbook horror movie,
yeah,
in a way. And the other thing that was fun about it is, since they shot it in and around South Pasadena, when I lived there for a while, I would walk every day past the Halloween house,
really?
You see the locations that they're used there, and it was just really neat to see all of these places that that were in this movie, in real life, and I just, it's a great, great low budget movie. It's just super scary. It's one of those things that just sort of took everything that came before it, in terms of like the slasher movie, it just perfected them. And I don't think that there's anything that's been as effective since then.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, that, especially the genius of that opening sequence, where they pull the mask off and it's like a little kid that's got, that's just the genius of John Carpenter. I mean, he didn't write, did he write it too?
Did he write it?
Oh, he man. Did. Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I saw that movie, again, probably on home video or something, and that opening sequence just being, thinking like, a kid killed somebody? Like, I couldn't wrap my brain around that, mm-hmm. It was kind of a little, I was probably younger, but remember my brain kind of being overloaded with the concept that a child would murder somebody, wow, yeah. And I mean, there's nothing more that I can say to add on to what you said, because I just think it's if not one of Carpenter's best, it is his best. I really love that movie. It's just, and obviously set off a wave, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if Friday the 13th was before or after that, but even forgetting Friday the 13th, there was just a whole huge wave of horror movies, slasher movies that followed after that. So
yeah.
Something must have been right.
It's like I said, it's been it's sort of the high water mark of the genre,
Yeah.
I don't think that anyone's been able to, to match it since then.
Yeah.
It's almost a mistake to even try.
Yeah,
I think,
like Rob Zombie.
Well, it's sort of the ultimate version of the, of that kind of movie. Mm-hmm. And, you can comment on it. I think that's probably the only way, sort of the way the Scream movies did,
Yeah.
You can make things that, you sort of talk about it and reference it, but like, you know, as far as, you know, what it is and how just sort of perfect it is, it's like it just can't be touched.
Yeah.
And you know, it went on to, it's one of the most, one of the most, if not the most profitable movies ever made, because you know, it was really, really low budget. It was, you know, incredibly creative, done on a shoestring. I mean, I've heard stories about, you know, Dean Cundey, you know, shooting the thing out of the back of his car, you know, and stealing the shots that they could, and you know, just, I can't say enough good things about Halloween.
Oh, you are going to have to take me on a tour of South Pasadena, because I used to live in that area a long time ago, and I never even knew. So I want to see that house.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, my next... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, the next pick that I was going to... is obviously, I already blew it, but Day of the Dead. And I really love Day of the Dead. The moment that... there's two moments in this movie that freaked me out when I first saw it, and the first one is so effective that even when I watch it to this day, I'm waiting for it. And it's the opening sequence where the lead character, the female protagonist in the movie, is having like the nightmare, and she's sitting in that room, and you hear like the voices or whatever, or the music's building up, and then the hand just bursts through the wall to grab her. That freaked me out the first time I saw it. And to day, when I watch that movie, I'm waiting for that moment to not be startled by it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was such an effective scare. And then, obviously, the other one is when the head of the military finally gets his due at the end of the movie, and he gets, like, torn apart by zombies. Like, his midsection gets just, like, ripped apart, and he gets pulled apart. Like, that, to me, I remember seeing that and thinking, like, in a way, like, bravo. Like, just like, wow, you really did it. You topped yourself there. Like, you went outside the box with that one. You know what I mean? I mean, even though they kind of did that in Dawn of the Dead, but that one particular sequence. And it's funny because Day of the Dead, I mean, everyone trashes, a lot of horror movie people kind of trash that movie, and they say it's Romero's worst, but you know, as much as I love Dawn of the Dead, for me, I love watching Day of the Dead. There's something about that movie that just sucks me in every time. And again, that's another movie where I bought the VHS, bought the DVD, bought the Blu-ray. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. There's something about it. The atmosphere, the sort of, you know, bub trying to train a zombie to become like what? Like a servant, not looking for a cure, you know. And then the military guys, just, I mean, obviously I have a problem with some of the acting there, with specifically the head of the military, but as a whole, the way that thing is shot, the feeling that it gives you, the, again, dread of like not, yes, it's horrifying. Yes, and you know.
Sorry, my dog is upset.
That's all right.
Because I guess he hates zombies too.
Yeah, zombies are horrible.
It's okay, bud. Oh, the neighbor is walking the dog, their dog, right past our house, and that just freaks him out. I think one of the things that, one of the reasons people probably did not like The Day of the Dead as much as the others is because what he had been doing with Night of the Living Dead, and then what he did with like Dawn of the Dead, is like he took the world and like sort of opened it up and expanded it, and then with this one he sort of returned to like a smaller story. You know what I mean? Like, I think people probably expected something that was even grander, or you know, opened that world up even more, but maybe he didn't necessarily give them what they expected.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, there's that whole story where the budget got cut, like, what, a couple of weeks before filming, and he had to pare down the script. And I've read some of the original script, and some of it, to me, is, I mean, I don't know, it seems like on a much more ambitious scale, but it seems like that script might have gone a little all over the place with what he was trying to do. And, you know, I'm not an expert filmmaker, but I just think it's there's something about Day of the Dead that I just feel like is very tight. I feel like the story moves along. Mm-hmm. I like all the characters, and it's definitely one of my favorites. And you know, it's going to be sacrilegious, but every time between Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, I have a hard time choosing which one is better for me. That's just me. So I don't know. But any other picks on your end?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple from some old classic Universal horror movies. You know, those sort of get overlooked now because they're so old. But yeah. To me, obviously, you know, a very classic one is the whole It's Alive scene from Frankenstein, which is still like a very, very effective, you know, sort of scary moment there. But to me, the scariest of all the Universal moments is in The Mummy, where the archaeologist is reading from the scroll that will bring the mummy back to life. And the mummy is sort of like propped up in this box behind him. And as he's reading it, you know, the mummy is starting to move and starts coming for him. And it's a completely, almost silent scene. But it's just so drawn out, and it takes forever for the mummy to get from where he is in the box to approach the scientist. And it's just the tension in that scene just builds and builds and builds, and it gets scarier and scarier and scarier. There are some really, really effective moments in some of those Universal movies, even though they're very dated. You know, they do not, a lot of it does not hold up well. But the parts that do are just really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein on television. You know that Turner Classic Movies and I think AMC Theaters, they're doing like a double feature of Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. I've never seen The Mummy. And to this day, it embarrasses me, but I've never seen Boris Karloff's Dracula. I've never seen it. I don't know why.
Bela Lugosi?
Oh, Bela Lugosi, sorry. Boris Karloff was Frankenstein. Yes.
Well, there's some confusion there because, like, Lugosi actually did play Frankenstein's monster later on in some of the sequels.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I misspoke either way. I know, like, some people probably just flipped out listening to this, but yeah, I haven't seen The Mummy. I have not seen a lot of those, and those are coming out on Blu-ray. There's like a whole huge set that's coming out. But yeah, I remember really liking Frankenstein. It's just so shocking when you hear stories of that people were fainting in the aisles when that first premiered. You know, they had to have nurses in the theater when the first Frankenstein premiered. I mean, that to me is, having seen it, is, you know, especially with a modern day mindset, that's impressive. I mean, I don't think there's movies today were so jaded that you would even be able to pull that off, you know?
I'm hearing reports of people fainting from VHS.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen it, but I've just heard reports that there have been people who have fainted during VHS.
I'm going to have to see this movie. I will have to see that. Well, so you would recommend, which one would you recommend? I've seen Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. You'd say The Mummy, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say The Mummy. The Mummy is a very well done horror movie. Actually, the first ones in each installment, with the exception of Bride of Frankenstein, are generally the best.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance, the one you really need to see is the Spanish language Dracula.
Oh, really?
They shot it at the same time as the English language version. What happened is that the English language version would shoot on stage during the day, and then when they would clear out and the Spanish crew would come in, and they would shoot the Spanish version at night.
Oh, wow.
It's got a completely different cast. The script is similar. There are just slight changes, but it's really interesting to see the same approach or the same idea from two completely different approaches, and the Spanish language version in a lot of ways is superior to the English language.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to have to watch Dracula and then the Spanish Dracula if I can.
I believe that on the Blu-ray, the Spanish language version is included.
Ooh, even more reason to buy that. Holy cow. Wow. Yeah, I need to check out a lot of those Universal. I'm a big Hammer horror fan.
Yeah, me too.
As far as Universal, I can't say that I've been exposed to that much. My next pick is 28 Days Later. Which is to me, and this is just to me, I'm not saying anyone out there should feel the same way. This to me is one of the best horror movies ever made. I love this movie, and it's obviously the movie that reinvigorated the horror genre, but I mean the zombie genre, excuse me, and gave it a shot in the arm, and is to blame for everyone just pumping out zombie horror movies and comics and whatever. But it's interesting because the biggest moment in this movie for me is not a scary one. I guess I should go back a little bit. Like 28 Days Later, I think, was the first sort of apocalypse movie on a big scale, like released in major theaters after September 11th. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, I can't remember exactly what year 28 Days Later came out, but this was the first one to sort of tap into that end of the world feel that you had seen since the attacks of September 11th. So I remember going into it and having that sort of like pall of like terrorism and, you know, the George Bush years and all that stuff hanging over my head, in my head. But you know, I just, running zombies, to me, like, that concept, I'd never thought of it, and I'd never thought, like, that's not a good idea, you know, mm-hmm. because I think 28 Days Later, I'd seen lots of zombie apocalypse movies and been like, well, you know, I could survive that, it would suck, blah, 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 but 28 Days Later is the only zombie movie that I've ever seen, and obviously whatever, they're infected, not zombies, blah, 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 you know, where I thought, no, that's it, I'm checking out. I would just blow my head off. I'm like, no, if they're going to run after me, I'm in decent shape, you know, I exercise, but I'm not, I'm done. You know, it's just not going to happen for me. But so with that in mind, the biggest moment, and this is one of those movie going moments that I'll never forget, was when the dad, they find the military outpost, mm-hmm. and the dad is looking around and they're not finding anything. And he looks up and he sees a bird chewing on like somebody's eye socket or something. And he pokes the chain or whatever that the bird is sitting on, and the bird flies off and a drop of blood flies down and hits him in the eye. And that is one of the few movie moments I can remember in my lifetime where the whole audience audibly just went, like, just, you, it was a character that you'd grown to love. They'd set him up and now you knew that it was all over for this guy. You know, that this was it. Like, there, he was done for. And they were going to have to kill that guy. And it's such a powerful movie moment for me. Because I remember just the my stomach just dropping down and just being like, oh, man. And just having that one of those community film moments where you're just like, everyone at the same time is just, like, audibly. I've just not, the only other experience that pops into my mind is seeing the Fantastic Four movie and Jessica Alba undressing and the whole audience going gasping at the sight of Jessica Alba undressing in the, so, but no, 28 Days Later, not putting it in the category of the Fantastic Four movie, but literally, you know, whatever you want to say about the movie, I mean, and 28 Days Later to me is a brilliant sort of remake of the first three zombie Romero movies. You know, you've got the opening, you know, which is Night of the Living Dead, the middle where they visit like the supermarket and have a good time and are sort of realizing that maybe there's just no way out of this. You know, this is the end and where do they go? And then the third where they meet up with the military. Like that, it encapsulates all the Romero movies, amps them up a little bit, but that one moment in that movie is a movie moment that I will never forget as long as I live. So I don't know.
You know, I think one of the things that that movie did really well is that it opened up how flexible the zombie movie genre is.
Yeah.
You know, you can argue about whether there are zombies or not, but for me, yeah, they're zombies, and they're a different kind of zombie, and it makes you realize even that the Romero zombies were different than the zombies that came before them on screen too. You know, the zombie movie is an insanely flexible kind of movie. You can do almost any kind of a movie with zombies, you know, as we've seen now with like Shaun of the Dead. You've got romantic comedy zombies, you know, you've got it's flexible, and 28 Days Later really was responsible for sort of opening the zombie universe toward new possibilities.
Yeah.
That nobody had really thought about before. And and again also an important movie because of the the post 9/11 timing of it.
Yeah.
I remember at the time people were thinking, well you know, no one will ever go to see, they were saying, oh, you know, no one's ever going to want to see a pessimistic movie again, no one's ever going, you know, like they were trying to make it, you know, this sort of it's like there was an event, and then there was, you know, the media or government attempt to shape the event that happened.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, to a degree, this was, you know, people saying, no, you know, we're going to shape it the way we want to shape it, you know.
Yeah.
Like we're going to interpret it through our own eyes. And you know, it definitely heralded the beginning of sort of the, I would say maybe the postmodern horror genre, because we had, you know, the modern horror film through there, and now what we've got is sort of this like postmodern thing where, you know, it builds on sort of the new senses of horror, because the internet and, you know, what we've seen has opened up our idea of what horror is. I mean, even to the degree of gore, you know. I mean, gore is everywhere these days. It's on, you know, network television to a huge degree, and you know, a lot of that has to do with the zombie movie popularity.
Yeah, I would not disagree with you. And you know, kudos to Danny Boyle for, you know, kicking it up. You know, a director like that to give it sort of respectability. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Cool. Any next other picks or?
You know, I think it's kind of funny. We've been sort of dancing around this one all the time, but and it's the one you mentioned at the very beginning, but it's Night of the Living Dead, you know?
Uh-huh.
Night of the Living Dead is sort of, for me, the one that they're all measured up against, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because it's the most horrific movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In terms of just overall tone and relentless horror, and the ending, of course, you know. The ending to that movie, just, it was the first movie I'd ever seen that was just complete and utterly hopeless.
Uh-huh.
From beginning to end. And, you know, it's from, you know, for me, it's sort of the essence of a horror movie. The idea of, you know, the world you know is upended by some sort of event, and that status quo never comes back.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, again, I saw it when I was younger, and again, that's another one of my favorites. I don't think there's a Blu-ray edition, you know, that's come out, but that's another one where I've bought almost, not almost, but at least two different editions of Night of the Living Dead on DVD, because I love that movie so much. And it's interesting because a lot of people tend to, or younger people tend to kind of trash it and be like, oh, that's not scary, blah, 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 or whatever. And it's interesting because I think it's one of these movies where you have to shut off the lights and you have to just sit and focus on it and not be paying attention to anything else.
Yeah.
And the moment where, I mean, I'd always been a fan of it, but several years ago, I got a chance to see it at the New Beverly in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and they had a pristine print, a beautiful print. And sitting there in the theater with a couple of my friends and just being really creeped out by it, just buying into the whole thing. And this is probably another one of those movies that just really lends itself to the movie going experience, where you're sitting in the theater and it's dark and the audience is with you and it just sucks you in because it's so stark, black and white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And people, you know, again, much has been written on this movie about how groundbreaking it is in terms of, you know, casting, you know.
It's yeah.
The first movies where you had, you know, a black male lead who's sympathetic, you know, he's really, if anyone's the hero of that movie, it's him.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And, you know, it's such a product of its time, yeah. you know, because it's a Vietnam movie, you know.
Yeah.
But it really goes past that. It's one of those movies that sort of, despite itself, you know. I mean, if you hear about like the making of the movie and how, you know, how difficult it was to even get this movie like finished and in the can and everything, and how rushed everything was. I mean, it really becomes almost a perfect movie.
Yeah.
For me, it's sort of like the nexus of all like the horror movies. It ties the older Universal black and white things in because it's shot in black and white. But
yes, he loves the movie. Again.
You know, it ties it brings that whole black and white horror genre in with like the new modern fear. You know, it's the first time that you're really seeing gore on camera.
Yeah.
It's tonally, it's just like horrible, you know, and like it really is. It's just it's so scary that it even scares my dog.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, the one thing that I know about Night of the Living Dead is I took a storyboarding course a long time ago, and that one I chose to storyboard. You know, one of the assignments was like storyboard something from a favorite movie of yours. Mm-hmm. You know, and I chose to do that, and the instructor very much went into that he had seen it in the theater. He's an older guy. He was obviously older than us. And he had seen it when it came out. And he had said, you don't understand the impact that this movie had, because you went in and the footage was so raw and it was so like kind of documentary style at the time that you thought you were watching, you got the feeling that you were watching something real. And you were just so sucked into it when you were sitting in the theater, and to me that was really powerful, listening to somebody who knows about movies and you know has seen probably more movies than I'm ever going to see, and worked on, you know, animation and stuff like that, and just saying that this movie was pretty impressive and important at the time it came out, because we came out and we were blown away, you know, just like blown away. And I've spoken to other people, professional artists and cartoonists, and everyone who's seen it, other people who saw it in the theater, you know, who were blown away, you know. And so, I mean, you can't discount this movie, no matter who you are, what you are, how jaded you think you are. It's still, to me, it's still impressive. And and I can't say how much I appreciated it when I first saw it, and now to this day. So yeah, definitely one of the tops of all time. We're coming on an hour and a half. Do you want to keep going? I mean, I'm willing to keep going for a little bit if you want. It's up to you.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. My next one was, I've got like three more. So my next one was Horror of Dracula, or otherwise known as Dracula. I guess in the States it was called Horror of Dracula. It's a Hammer movie. Mm-hmm. It's the first Hammer Dracula movie. And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the best of the Hammer, but it's probably one of the first ones that I saw. Mm-hmm. And It was actually on Turner Classic Movies, and I recorded it. I watched some of it last night. And the moment in that movie where Christopher Lee bares his fangs for the first time, that was powerful, you know? He just, the lighting and the blood coming out of the corners of his mouth, and he's just going, he's like hissing, like that is an amazing movie, for a movie moment for me, because I remember seeing it, I'd seen it as an adult, and just being really impressed with that shot, and just really like, here's the reveal, he's a vampire, ta-da, you know, yeah, your dog likes it too, and you know, just being really you know, just taken as to how impressive sort of a vampire could look on the screen.
Yeah.
You know? And Christopher Lee, and it's funny because in that movie, he doesn't really have a ton of dialogue, but...
No, that's what makes him so effective.
Yeah. And it's just really well done, and anybody who is any kind of vampire fan, I mean, there's definitely... The pacing is definitely not as quick as a lot of modern movies, but if you're willing to have patience and sit and enjoy the set design, the costumes, the environment, you know, and you can get past some of the leaps of logic, you know, because obviously, you know, the first character who gets off, instead of staking Dracula first, he stakes the female vampire. It's like, no, go after the head guy first and then deal with her later, you know.
Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed about it is that it sort of took the idea of like a vampire and it made him more like an animal, like kind of a, you know what I mean? Like, because he didn't communicate much, you know, like there was definitely something scary about being a vampire, you know.
Yeah.
There, it's sort of got, you know, the, you know, vampirism sort of got romanticized. Funny enough, by all people, Bela Lugosi, you know, had the European sort of suave vampire, and like there was a sort of romanticism that's definitely, you know. You know that continues to this day. You've got Twilight and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
but like this is actually the idea of like, oh yeah, a vampire is a scary monster.
Yeah,
and I really liked the Hammer ones for doing that again. They made vampires scary again.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I really wish that somebody would kind of do that today. I don't, has any modern movie kind of tried to go back to that feel of like these things are horrifying creatures? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Near Dark.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in the 80s. I'm talking about like in the Twilight era. Yeah, definitely.
No, maybe we're due for an actual scary vampire kind of movie.
Yeah, so if you're into scary vampires, or at least vampires with a sort of intimidating imposition, definitely check out Dracula, Horror of Dracula. It's definitely one of the better ones out there. What's your next pick?
As far as like new monsters go,
yeah,
like the last time I think we've had like a new monster that was scary was Alien.
Oh yeah.
And, like, Alien was like sort of the first movie that like took, you know, it's sort of a sci-fi movie, you know, but really it's a horror movie, you know. It's a horror movie in space, you know, and there's that fantastic table, you know, the dinner table scene, where, you know, they famously, you know, didn't really let the cast in on what was going to happen, and in order to get more realistic reaction from the cast, and you know, it's a very scary movie with like a completely new kind of a monster. I think I honestly think that's one of the best sort of modern horror movies that we have here, and like, you know, you have it with like Dracula, you know, was it's actually just a scary monster. There's nothing like human about it. It's roughly human shaped, but you know, like this is something that's just, you know, its only purpose is to kill you or scare you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, I really, that's something that, you know, it was really new when it came out. And, you know, we've seen variations, a lot of variations on it since then, you know, but I don't think that we've seen any kind of like a brand new kind of a monster the way we did with Alien.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that is one of the terrifying things about Alien, but beyond, you know, the great cinematography and, you know, the sort of creep up on you sort of pacing, is the fact that this creature just, there's no reasoning with it. There's no fight. There's no real fighting with it, you know.
Right,
you know, you're on your own, and this thing is not going to stop until it's either sort of impregnated you or it's killed you, more right. than likely kill you. And it has acid for blood, which yeah. is just like, talk about a stroke of genius there, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's almost like a Lovecraft movie in space.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, yeah. I mean, I cannot say enough about Alien. I mean, I love those movies. I love at least the first. Well, I even like the third one on its own, not separate from being part of the Alien franchise. You know, I do like Alien 3, if it had not been called Alien, you know, if it had been like Prisoners on an Alien Planet, you know, I would have liked that movie, you know.
Dude, I love that title, Prisoners on an Alien Planet.
It's awesome. There you go. Let's copyright it. Write up that script. Stat. My next sort of pick is, and I know this is one that I don't think people appreciate or like or, you know, are nuts about, is Pet Sematary. And the reason that I pick Pet Sematary is because this is another one of those movie-going moments where I remember seeing it in high school. Mm-hmm. The theater was like, there used to be a theater over in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and going to see it with a bunch of friends. And this being another horror movie that I saw in the theater and was like, okay, I'm going with this, and really finding the concept interesting and original, you mm-hmm. know, where it's like you bury somebody and then they come back from the dead and they're not quite right. But the big moment in Pet Sematary that freaked me out, and it was actually what reminded me of this, was it was on AMC the other night, and I caught the end of it. And the moment where, obviously, I mean, anybody who's not seen Pet Sematary, the concept is he's a veterinarian, right, or something? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I read the book and saw the movie.
And so basically, I've not read the book, but the concept is he's a veterinarian. His kid gets killed by like a Mack truck or something like that. There's an accident. He buries the kid in the pet cemetery, and the kid comes back and he's not quite right, and he's a little bit wrong. But this is towards the climax of the film. The kid has started killing people. I hope I'm not ruining anything for anyone out there. I mean, whatever. Should have said this in the beginning. Spoilers. But there's a phone call. And the dad picks up the phone, and it's the little kid on the phone. And he's saying, like, "Hi, Daddy. How are you, Daddy?" And then the father's like, "Where are you?" The kid's name is, I believe it's Gage. And he's like, what are you doing? What have you done? You know? And then the little kid says something to the effect of, "First I played with Mommy, then I played with Judd, now I want to play with you." And in the theater, people freaking out, like, oh, like just freaking out. And I know that a lot of people don't consider Pet Sematary to be the greatest of the great, but in my life, this was one of those movie-going experiences where the audience just went nuts, you know, just like flipping out that this little kid was on the phone with this cute little voice and just, you know, yeah. "I'm gonna get you, Daddy. I'm gonna get you," you know. It's just like, wow. So I don't know. I for me, that's one of the biggest horror movie moments that I had growing up. So
It's so interesting. I think a lot of your best moments that you end up having sort of depend on the crowd that you see it with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every audience has its own mood.
Yeah.
And, you know, to a degree, a movie, I think, can scare you if you see it by yourself. But, you know, fear feeds itself.
Yeah.
And if you're in a group setting, like, a theater full of people, there really is an energy that you can only get in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even a less successful movie like Pet Sematary, which, you know, it's not a great movie through and through, but
no,
you know, in the right setting and the right audience, it can work.
Yeah, absolutely. And
same with me, I think, with Silence of the Lambs. You know, seeing that, I've seen it a few times since then, and, you know, it's definitely a suspenseful movie. But in the theater, you know,
yeah,
with a group of people, you know, it was a completely different experience. And,
yeah,
you know, people were, you know, crawling out of their seats and, you know, talking back to the screen, and, you know, just like it was a genuinely terrifying moment for an audience to see. And I think that's one of the movies, I think, that really stands out for me as the audience participation and, you know, the audience buy-in to this horror and fear really being a super key added element.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing Silence of the Lambs in the theater, Paramus, New Jersey. That's another one. I remember sitting in the... Well, I should precursor this by saying that we were messed up. We were not sober when we went to go see Silence of the Lambs. So I remember seeing Silence of the Lambs, like, not in the best state of mind, and sitting there with friends just thinking, oh my god, this is not good. Like, you know, when she's stuck in the pit and mm-hmm. he's like, you know, put the cream, whatever, you know,
puts the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I just remember not being in a and seeing it again sober and it freaking me out even more, if that's possible, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is one of those movies that is just pure genius as well. And I think that's another movie that, you know, there were horror movies, there were slasher movies before that, and there's slasher movies after that, you know, very much like, you know, Seven, like with police procedurals, right, or something like that. And mm-hmm. so I think Silence of the Lambs, yeah, that's a benchmark. And in not just horror movie history, in film history, I mean.
Yeah,
you know?
I think Silence of the Lambs really sort of legitimized and mainstreamed the horror movie unlike anything that had come before it. Even Halloween, which was like a very successful movie, critically, it took a while for people to catch up with that. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? But this one, like, right out of the gate, you know, like, everyone was behind this. It's like, oh yeah, this is a horror movie that, you know, that you can like even if you don't like horror movies. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, I mean, even my mom's seen Silence of the Lambs. You know? I mean,
yeah,
that's how influential this movie is.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. That's awesome. Well, I'm moving on to my last one, and this makes 10 for me. So this is quite possibly my favorite horror movie, spooky movie of all time. I love this movie. I've seen it multiple times. I own it on DVD. Can you guess which one it is?
No.
It's the original Haunting.
I love
this movie. I remember the first time I saw this, rented it on VHS, and was waiting tables at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, had a female friend, not a girlfriend, just a friend, and we went over to the video store across the street, and I just randomly picked this up off the shelf and was like, oh, what's this? And the guy at the video store was like, yeah, you're gonna wanna watch that. And we went over to her place and turned out all the lights and put the movie on, and we were freaked the hell out. Like, this is a movie, you need to shut off all the lights, you need to turn up the sound, And if you have a surround sound system, you're in for a treat. Or if you ever get to see it in the theater, like, this movie is amazing, The Haunting. And it is my favorite horror movie of all time because it does not use gore or cheap tricks or anything. It uses sound and solid acting, and it's just creepy. But the moment in The Haunting that freaks me out is there's a scene where the two female leads are hiding in the bedroom because there's all this crazy noise going around there. And one of them says, "You're squeezing my hand too tight." And the other one says, "I'm not squeezing your hand." And it's like, oh my God! You're just like, the scene has been built up. And you just get to that moment where it's like, well, if you're not holding my hand, and this is not Steve Martin, like, they're between two pillows.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
This is like horrifying, like scary. And if you can get into the mindset of it, it's just genius. And it's directed by the guy who directed Sound of Music and West Side Story. What?
And Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah, Robert we'll Pies. Ignore that one. Yeah. Yeah. it's just this guy, you know, Robert Wise is one of the great directors of all time, and he can do a gorgeous musical, and he can do a horrifying horror movie, ghost story, you know? So that is my big, you know, moment in the film, because this uses a lot of sound and deep, dark, beautiful photography. It's black and white. Don't get scared. But it is light years beyond the Jan de Bont remake that came out, which I've never watched.
I can't bring myself to watch that either, because this is one of my favorites too. First of all, the house is the main character of the story.
Yeah.
That's the most, and they're straight up with that at the beginning. You know, the beginning of the movie is sort of a recounting of all the horrors that have happened in this place.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, right away going into it, you know that there's something wrong with the place.
Yeah.
And then once the people get in there, you start realizing what's wrong with the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great setup. You know, it's the idea of essentially a ghost busting expedition in a way. You know, they're investigating the paranormal. One of the first movies in which case, you know, you're sort of bringing a sort of scientific element into the into a paranormal movie. You're examining it from a modern perspective.
Yep.
But it doesn't make it any less scary.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, it's just there are huge chunks of the movie where you're just not sure, okay, is it all in this character's head or is it the house? Is it, you know?
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, it just doesn't matter where the horror is because it's all there.
Yeah.
Great performances, fantastic performances. Julie Christie is just flat out amazing.
Yep.
And Russ Tamblyn as the skeptic, who's the actual owner of the house.
Really
gets to do an alternately, you know, sort of funny, you know, bemused thing. But, you know, but if you watch his character as, you know, he gradually starts believing in this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it is a marvelous movie. You're dead right putting it number one.
Yeah, I absolutely. The thing that this movie made me realize, because there's a lot of people sometimes like, oh, ghosts, what do ghosts do? Ghosts, you know, they're not going to touch you. They're not going to, you know, how could a ghost harm you? And for this movie made me realize, like, oh, they're just there to drive you batshit crazy. You know what I mean? They're there to play with whatever you've got going on in your head and make it worse and amplify it to the point of where it's like you've either got to get out or, you know, and that's the thing that's amazing about this is the subtlety throughout it until you get to the moments where the sound is just bang, 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 you know, and what is that and what is happening? It's it's an amazing movie. It's an amazing movie. But that's my final pick, and that's my top pick. What's your next pick? Let's do yours and then wrap it up for anyone who's still with us.
I don't know if I could even top The Haunting, because like that is such a fantastic movie. But you know, let's see.
You don't have to top it. Just what do you like?
I just like anything that sort of gives me a moment where I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, any movie that can like sort of throw a moment at me where I just didn't see it coming is like, to me, that is like a fantastic horror movie.
Yeah.
And you know, those moments are pretty few and far between in a way.
It's true.
I would not necessarily classify it as a, you know, horror movie, but Donnie Darko
had
some definite, like, scary elements to it. It's more of a science fiction movie, but, you know, in terms of, you know, basically a universe that has sort of become a haunted house in a way, like, it sort of scared me that way. It was one of the... I actually saw that at the Rialto Theater in South Pasadena, which you know, no more, sadly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those great old decaying movie houses from, like, the WPA era. And it's, you know, seeing this scary movie in this sort of scary environment that, you know, has gargoyles up there with glowing red eyes. And, you know, it just, it's another one of those things where the movie and the location and the audience just all sort of came together to make one of those perfect, you know, scary movie moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing Donnie Darko in the theater as well. I saw it in Pasadena. I don't know if that theater is still there on Colorado. It was like a second run theater. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming out of Donnie Darko and just loving it, and also thinking, what was that? Like, I don't understand it completely. I mean, I got it, but I don't, you know, the bunny and all that stuff. Like, is it something from the future, like coming to warn us about in the past? You know, it's just like so well done. And it definitely has a big creep factor through it. Like, definitely leaves you unsettled. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we're also living in a time where genres are not cemented. You know, you can do something and it can be a sci-fi and a horror or a comedy, like you said, Shaun of the Dead, or you know, just a lot of things that are happening in movies now. And it's such an exciting time. And I agree with you. I think that anything that sort of leaves you with the feeling like, I've never seen that before, you know, or I've never thought of that way before, is a powerful movie going experience. And Donnie Darko, for me, certainly, like you, it was definitely one of those big movie going experiences where I was like, I love this, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know. So those are our top 10 or so horror movie going experiences. Thanks for joining in. And Paul, thanks for doing it.
No problem.
It's always fun.
I'm always down to talk scary movies.
Cool. Well, this is Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for checking us out.
Part-time fanboy.com.